We've had some very, very special guests indeed in our programming throughout the course of the last 2 days.
And this particular guest just patted me on the belly and congratulated me on rounding out, if you will.
You are looking good, baby. I think you passed me.
That is the voice of Craig Stather. I'm working on it.
Thank God somebody passed me.
There is a goal here. There is a goal. I haven't lost quite as much hair yet, though.
What's the goal? 400?
I think something like that. How you doing?
Got to have goals.
I'm doing good.
It's good to see you. How you feeling? I always hate to ask because there's always something going on.
Well, actually, I played Hawaii last week.
Right.
And it is the first time I walked all week and just felt really good all week.
Really?
Probably 4.5 years.
Oh, good.
I've never been to that golf course. Is it tough to walk?
No, it's dead flat.
Okay. And so it's like
I really felt good. I actually played very well, and I putted like absolute crap. I think I was last in putting for the week. Out of 40, and I finished 20th, so I guess you had to hit a few good shots every now and then.
Craig,
It's good. Back's good. Hips perfect.
Really?
That's what I was going to ask you about.
New hips, best part on me.
That's you could say that.
Yeah, anything that's original is not very good.
I was going to go down the road to ask you about that. Last time we spoke, you had just gotten the operation. Talk to us about that whole process and what it's like. Because Tom Watson got new hip? Jack Nicklaus?
Nicklaus, bunch of guys. Not a bunch. Peter?
Yeah.
Jacobson.
He's had just about every joint he has done.
Yeah, Peter, I won't say it. I think he looks forward to getting something cut on.
I asked him last year.
He's had so many operations.
16.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. What's your schedule? So you're going.
He's one of those. He goes to the doc. So I think we need to operate on that. Great. When can we do it? Just kidding, Pete.
when are we going to see you again? Obviously, if you're playing better, you're gonna play more golf.
Yeah, I'm. We're back to 26 events this year at Champions Tour. I've committed for 25. So be the first really full year I've played in six now or five. I'm looking forward to it.
Will we see you back at Augusta this year?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you had talked about maybe.
Well, I'm going to go back every year. I'm talking about maybe not going out and shooting 80 every day anymore. But I've pretty much hobbled around that place the last 4 years. My back was out this year. And I shot 81, 82 last year, so that was fairly embarrassing.
How important for you is it to wait until Kevin gets there for the first time?
Well, you know what? That's kind of invalid question because I can come back and play whenever I want.
Right, of course.
But I would absolutely love to play, or not necessarily play, but especially be there. But I think it'd be awesome if we both played the same week. And he will get there. He's had good chances. He had a great chance at Memphis last year and just didn't quite get it done. But, you know, he shot 16 under the first 3 days of the Hope and 2 under on Sunday, which is like shooting 80 compared to the rest of the field. But when I talked to him, he said he played horrible all week. So, you know, you get an 18 under anywhere and you're playing horrible, play halfway decent, you got a pretty good chance at having a good week.
Yeah.
I just think it's a matter of time. I think it will happen. I hope it'll happen personally. But just as watching him as a player, not as a father, I just think it's a matter of time. He's got a phenomenal iron game. He's turned into a better driver the last couple years. His driver was very marginal. And to him, it's really if he putts well, he plays well. If he doesn't, he doesn't. So, but he is, and I say not, this comes from somebody that's not his father. I think he's honestly one of the better iron players I've seen.
How are you doing following him from a perspective of a player versus a dad? I would think that your emotions have to be wrapped into watching him.
Nah, you know, the first couple of years, I kind of rolled and bounced with every punch and every shot.
And, which you didn't even do with your own game.
No. And it was almost like, you know, watching him on the internet play well and just kind of hoping disaster didn't strike. And he was top 10 or top 15. I'm like, this is awesome. I can't miss. I'm just sitting there watching the computer for 4 hours, which is like an idiot. But, you know, it's what I do. And, you know, his comfort zone was his first couple of years, I think, was 25 to 40. Now I think his comfort zone is 5 to 15. And you can see as it's gotten increasingly better every year. Last year, and reading all these comments on the blogs and whatever, these guys rating young players, kind of called it a breakout year. And I don't think so because he didn't win. But very consistent. He had 8 or 10 top 10s. And, I really see a lot of promise in his game. His attitude is way better. He felt like before trying to make your card, like any young guys do, like we did. He felt like he had to play every week, which kills you. And
were some of us that did that for more than a decade.
Oh, sure. the 1 year in 81, I won Kemper, and it was my 10th week in a row. And like now I think, like, I'm dead playing 2 weeks. How would I play 10? But anyway, it's fun to watch. I'm his biggest fan, although he doesn't know it, but I hope he's going to have another great few years.
What is Swing Tip that you have on your shirt here?
Swing Tip is kind of started business in October. Been working on it for about 14 months now. Bluetooth device. There's five or six of them in the show, Swing Bite and some others, but snaps on right under the grip. It's compatible with Droid, iPad, iPod, iTunes, the Google, whatever,
Much everything out there.
No, just with iPad and what is it, Google Play?
I guess. Google Plus, or
Google
maybe
Play
it was Google Play.
Whatever it is. But, it does some of the same things that the rest of them. Gives you your swing speed, gives you your attack angle, impact, whether your club face is closed, club face is open. But the cool thing is we have an actual swing plane, which is supposedly the perfect Iron Byron swing plane. In blue, and then, or in whatever color it is, I think it's blue, and then your backswing is in red, your downswing is in yellow, and you compare that to the swing plane that is ideal.
Is yours on it?
So I'm not looking at mine. Hell no. You have any idea how bad I come over the ball?
Yeah, I do. I've played with you many times.
But square.
Always
yes,
square.
Yes. Well,
I mean,
most of the time.
You talk about your son being a great iron player.
Let's leave it at most of the time.
You were are a fabulous iron player.
Yeah. But anyway, that's a very cool part of it. You can look at your plane, and shortly we're going to have a whole band of teaching pros online. You can take all your swings, you do wherever you want. You can store them all in your cloud. Eventually you'll be able to send them all in, pick your instructor. They'll give you instant feedback on the internet over what they see.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool. You don't have to, as opposed to booking a time at Golfsmith or wherever, do Tracker Ball, paying $125, go down there, you get the whole thing on a CD, which is cool. Takes you 2 hours, time you go back. You can do this right here. You can store them all. You set them in, go on your line. We're probably going to try to do some sort of FaceTime where if the time is right and the guy's, sitting there looking at your video, you can be face-to-face with the guy that's your instructor. And you can picture different levels of instructors. Obviously, you'd pay more for a Butch Harmon than you would for me or John. Probably. I don't know why, but you probably would. So that's the whole part of it, just trying to make things easier and more compatible for the, really for the consumer, plus for the club pros.
When you
they can do it all right on the range on an iPad without having to take a video, run into the shop. Put it in the TV, sit in the chairs, have a glass of water, watch it on video, go back out, try to fix. You can do it all right there, which
incredible.
To me is very cool.
So how cool was it developing all this as you were starting to see the possibilities and going, are you kidding me?
It was pretty
fun. From the process
fun.
You just talked about.
And what we started out with, the product we started out with is nothing like what at this point in time, the finished product is. And it's a lot like this laptop sitting in front of me. You got to update your software, improve your software, do your updates every quarterly because, whatever you got here is probably a year old and it's pretty much obsolete. So
at least.
We're going to be constantly improving it, constantly updating the apps, coming up with new, I want to do a putting thing with a 360 from above where you can graphic out everything in Matrix. I'm the worst example of them all. I get over a putt, and my hands are an inch and a half behind the ball, and I don't know it. If I don't know it, how many guys that are 15, 20, 30 handicappers haven't a clue? But you can, you know, and up on top, you can have the perfect pendulum line. You can see, it'll draw a line telling you we're taking it outside or inside or whatever, and whether your shoulder's dipping, you can tell all that. So that's probably going to be later in the fall. We're going to introduce that one, some similar to that. But I don't know. It's all good stuff. And the cool stuff thing about, you know, being software and updating everything, it gets better. It's never going to fall backwards. It's always going to go ahead.
You're fired up about this.
I am. It's a pretty exciting product.
Isn't that cool to see?
It's a pretty exciting product. Yeah. I can have something, man. I don't get fired up about my golf much anymore.
But you know what? People do get fired up to come see you play. And that's still cool.
You know, it's a good time out there. We've got Champions Tour, I think, has a wonderful product. You've been out there enough walking around. But, we're definitely fan-friendly. The fact that we're not playing for $6 or $8 million a week probably has something to do with it too.
Sure.
But those guys are, you know, it's a job now. It's you have two or three good years, real real good years. I mean, you've set yourself for life now. To whereas, you know, I'm older than you, but when I came out, well, I sat there my third year in college, and every Monday I'd pick up the newspaper and see that this guy and Johnny Miller and so-and-so won this tournament and they got $16,000 for first place. I'm like, what the hell am I doing sitting here in school? Like, I can beat some of these guys. You know, I'm getting excited about $16,000 out of a $100,000 purse every week.
Yeah, I mean, I played. I kept my card with $180,000 my rookie year.
My first year I went out. I don't know which time you got, but
sure, all the time, time you won. And if you want a drink, we'll send someone down to the bar.
Yeah, I'll have a glass of cab.
Okay.
But, it's amazing, and I don't really like going back the old times and telling stories, especially in comparisons. But I went through in 76. We had two tour schools a year. We had one in the fall, one in the spring. And I started I went through tour school the first week in June, and the first event we could play, well, the first event we could try to Monday qualify for, because there was no exempt tour. Milwaukee the first week in July. And long story short, I made it Milwaukee, missed the cut. I was first alternate in Quad Cities and never got in. My next event was 8 weeks later in Hartford. I got in as an alternate because Gary Koch withdrew. And we finished up my first summer, and I had made $2,240. And I had, the way it worked is I had to go from June to June and make $12,500 to still be able to Monday qualify the rest of that following summer. And thank God I started in the middle of the year, because this is January, and by June I had $2,200, I think I would just quit. I honestly think I would have quit.
And what was it, 82 that the All-Exempt Tour came in? Was that 4 or 5 years in?
Nah, probably 80 or 81, 80. I think. But I went out and finished fourth at Pebble Beach the first week and made $8,400.
And thought you were rich.
And I'm like, you know what? I got 10-7. If I can't make $1,800 the rest of this spring, I'm done. And so times were a little different back then. I didn't make top 60 that year, but the next year I did. I finished 44th with 44,000.
Am I right? Do I remember this right? You won the Masters and got a 10-year exemption. 10 years later, you won the World Series of Golf and got 10 more years. Is that right?
Exactly.
So you had 20 consecutive years on two tournaments?
The better story, though, is if you the better story is if you leave Augusta out, I won the World Series in 82 and got 10 years, and I won the World Series in 92 the same day.
Really?
No. Same day, the 28th or whatever it was of August. The same day, 10 years later, got 10 more years, which took me through 02. And then I took career top 50 from 02 so I could play till June in 03, which I turned 50.
Yeah, we really wish, especially at the BC Open, that you decided not to take the top 50 and show up. Because that was my second best chance to win a golf tournament. He didn't need it.
Wasn't my fault.
It was your fault.
No, it wasn't.
You're the one who shot, 63 or 4 on Sunday?
Well, yeah. But I was also 9 back at an easy golf course.
That's true.
What did you do on Sunday?
I shot one or two under on an easy golf course, and it wasn't good enough. I finished top five.
Who was leading? Steve Lowry or somebody was leading?
Yeah, I wasn't.
All
the
leaders,
group.
None of the first five leaders, nobody broke par at Endicott, which is just it will never happen again.
It wasn't windy.
But Kevin was an amateur, and Alex.
Jacob, I was playing with
Alex Alexander was kind enough to give Kevin a spot as an amateur in the tournament. Or no, actually, he turned pro. But they gave him a spot, and I wasn't going to play. And I just said, you know, they gave him a spot, I got to go play. So Kevin missed the cut, and Cheka hit it in the water in 18.
Yeah, I was playing with Cheka. I mean,
playing with him?
I was, and he hit a shot on 18 that up the left-hand side. There's water up the left-hand side, but it was kind of flirting with the water. It wasn't that bad, and it hit, and it kicked left, and it was almost as if it was faded. He was already finished. We knew the situation. I was two back. I wasn't going to catch him unless I hold it. And Jacob was tied with him and made five. And I actually made three. And
nice.
So did I.
Yeah. Well, I know you did. You made a lot of threes.
I was sitting in the patio with a cell phone with Kevin.
I saw
because
you.
Because you remember that place? Well, now there's a TV upstairs in the clubhouse. There were no TVs. No nothing.
No dining room.
From 18. You can't see 18. So he was watching it on the Golf Channel. Or whoever telecast, I think it was the Golf Channel in Hartford, waiting to play Monday in the qualifier. And
that's just too weird.
I'm on the cell phone with him, and
Cabernet.
You know, he's tied, or I'm tied with Cheka. Kevin says, hey, he's taking a driver out. I'm like, really? He says, nah, he's hitting three wood. And he's watching TV, and he's talking about the cell phone. He says, oh, he's posing on it. I said, yeah. My God, he hit it in the water. Like, really?
Yeah.
I just got a tweet from someone. They were asking about where they can get the information on Swing Tip. Is there a website?
Swingtip.com. For the most part, I'm looking for my boys out here to help me, but I don't see any of them.
You know what? I'll go right here onto this antiquated computer.
It could be myswingtip.com. I think it's just swingtip.com.
You know what else I wanted to ask you?
They all left me here alone.
That's all right. Justin Ware just got you a new Cabernet, so you ask
you
and you get. When you're talking about playing golf with watching Kevin play golf, I was curious about what did it come up as.
There you go.
Swingtip.com.
Swingtip.com, folks. Swingtip.com. How much do you get a chance to play with your boy now, and what are those games like?
I haven't played with him. Well, actually, the last time I played with him was probably, other than the father-son tournament, I played with him about 5 years. And then he turned pro and he got his card, and then they decided that they would add a regulation to it that if you have your tour card, your nationwide card, or European tour card as a son, you weren't eligible. Which, to me, not mincing words, totally sucks. Because...
You're right, though.
Well...
Why?
Hear me out. He is the only son out of the whole group of players that's not eligible. And it's not like you're playing a tour event. I mean, it's a fun event. The money is bunched right in there. That's not a big deal either. But I tell you, it was the absolute best event of my life. Playing with him. You play a scramble. And I say we played about 5-6 years maybe. We won it once. He won it. I didn't win it. But... Vijay, I think a few years ago put it the best. He said this is the number one major of the year, playing with his kid. And it just, when they decided that he wasn't eligible, it absolutely broke my heart, because it was the best tournament I've ever played in. You get 2 days with him, you compete with him, and it was just phenomenal. I'm so sad that it can't happen anymore. But
and when you look at the – here's the other issue about it. I mean, Gary Nicklaus played on the PGA Tour.
Right.
You know, there's a whole group of them.
Stockton Jr.
Stockton, yeah.
Floyd. But the flip side is after he couldn't play, I took my youngest son, Chris, and we played for probably 5 years, and I had a blast.
Awesome.
But I would go down on Monday and work my butt off with Kevin because I knew we had a pretty good chance of winning. I would go down on Sunday and work my butt even harder with Chris because he's a pretty solid 20 handicap.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't want to finish last. And we never did. We finished next last a couple times. And then, you know, Dad, I guess I haven't played well in the last 4 years. Granted, I've been hurt somewhat, but, you know, kind of we played every year. And I guess to add insult to injury this year, they came back with it, and we didn't get invited. So, yeah, so be it. Things run their course, I guess, but anyway.
We shall have to rectify that.
Yes, indeed. We will consider that taken care of.
So there you go. No. I'm not bitter. Much. But I really wish that Kevin and I could have a go at it again.
Absolutely.
And, you know, maybe if we're winning by two, we'll make eight in the last hole to make everybody happy here or something. I don't know. But anyway.
It's Craig Stadman, folks.
One of the most recognized figures in the game for years and years, for the walk, for the mustache, for all of the...
What are you talking about?
You... For all of those years, for the occasional club release, back to the bag.
To
the bag.
Most of the time.
I understand. Was there anything in there that said...
I never hit you, did I?
No, but did okay. Probably hit a caddy or two.
I have hit a playing partner once. It was a really bad hop off the bag.
Was there ever a point where you said, I really shouldn't have done that? Maybe that time.
No. No.
I was hoping that was going to be your answer.
No, and I was, you know, you didn't see me in my better days in the late 70s.
Oh, no.
I was an absolute maniac, but it took me about 5 years. And actually it took, the old writer from Atlanta.
Furman Bisher.
It took him to, he was, God bless him, he was probably the one that if anybody tried to change me, made a pretty good impact. It was in 82 on Saturday. Sunday morning, I think it was Sunday morning, when I was leading by three, the opening part of the article was had nothing to do with how I played or anything. It was just that what an idiot I was on the golf course half the time. And that kind of hit home.
No kidding.
And that's really what, because I just, you know, I was my own worst enemy. I'd three putt or whatever. It'd take me three, four, five holes to get over.
So it made you a better player
as
well.
It made me, it didn't make me a better player. It made me a better manager of myself and my game around the golf course. It's mostly myself. And don't get me wrong, I still get pissed off. I always will. But, you know, pretty much everything's right there on that sleeve. But, you know, I get over it a lot quicker. I get over it probably by the time the club hits the bag or the cart or
shortly thereafter
or the tree limb or whatever is going to hit.
Greg, can you hang out for a couple of minutes with us?
I'm not going anywhere.
This is just perfect. I mean,
this couldn't be more perfect.
This is.
You know what I was thinking when we were in the break? You guys were talking, and my mind was going, we got to use this on the air. Because you were talking about the development of this. I mean, would it be right to say the development of the software?
Mm-hmm.
You were at, did you say, Half Moon Bay, and you were looking at these guys were just programmers, right?
No, not really.
We're talking about
Swing Tip,
folks. Swingtip.com.
A little bit everything, but it was a fairly... what would you say? It was trying to be more instructional than...
Yeah, but I don't get how you got involved in it. You don't strike me as a guy that sits back and goes, I'd like to put together a teaching aid on it with a sensor and... Where'd you connect all those dots?
I'm going to be 60 this year. And you know, my pat answer is there's a reason I'm still playing. Because I can't teach worth a damn.
Well, and
but you know, no, they... these guys came to me and want to know if I want to be a part of it. They explained what they're trying to do and their thoughts, and I'm like, my first thought was, yeah, it sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
And we discussed a little bit, and then the more I looked at it, the more they got some graphics on paper together anyway of what we wanted this thing to look like, and I'm like, yeah, that's pretty good, but I think we can improve on some things. So. I signed on and became an investor as well, and uh, I, I'm pretty happy with it. I think we got a great product. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
Well, and the other thing I asked, because we didn't know a whole lot about it before you showed up, I didn't know. I mean, something like this could literally retail for thousands of dollars, and because that's just the nature of the world we live in, and I asked you what it retails for, go ahead and tell the audience.
Well, you're the only one probably would spend thousands of dollars on it.
Well, I mean, a TrackMan
but
costs
you're in need,
$30,000, so $25,000. you couldn't fit my image into the...
well, you and I both. We wouldn't be side by side in this thing.
But it's
on the iPad, yes. On the iPhone, no.
It's only $129.
That's $129, which, no, it's a good retail price.
It's excellent.
But what you
less
get...
Less than the cost of a lesson.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. That's the same, as I was saying. You spend a half hour driving to your retailer golf store to go on Tracker Ball, and it costs you $125 for reservation. You get it all, and then you're done. And this thing, you can just, the clip on the thing starts to maybe wiggle a little bit after about 500 or 600 swings. There's just a little adjustment. It's on for another 5, so it's not going to come loose, and it's just cool. It's a really cool deal.
Swingtip.com, folks,
Mark. When people walk up to you to talk to you, whether it's in an airport or at the show or at a golf tournament, is there one particular image of you, one moment in time that they bring up more so than any others?
Oh, go ahead and take your best guess.
San Diego, really?
Yeah, really.
No kidding.
Probably about 10 times today just walking through the hall.
And then, of course, that's this week.
25 years ago.
25 years ago.
25 years ago, the towel. And it's these people bring it up like it was yesterday.
Well, I think part of the reason is, and correct me if I'm wrong here, that was the first time someone had ever called in and had an impact on a golf tournament.
I'm not sure it was the first time. It might have been, but there were actually 3 people that called in. One of them was from Rancho Santa Fe, time my hometown. That's a nice touch.
Take that person off the Christmas card list.
Yeah, it's a long story. It doesn't need to rehash again.
No. But that's the one.
The ruling, at least in my mind, not if I would have finished 90th, it wouldn't have mattered. But the ruling was pitiful, I thought.
You got the ultimate revenge, though.
Yeah, you know, maybe the fact that I made a 30-footer on 18 to finish second alone.
That I was thinking of the chainsaw
had something to do with it, but. It's what they compared it to, what they based their ruling on, the decision, was some guy rolling up a towel and stuffing it in between 2 rocks on the side of a mountain so he could actually plant his foot and stand. And that's what they compared it to.
Right.
But P.J. Boatwright was the president of the USGA, and I got to do this for 40 seconds at the time. And well, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm just giving you a heads up.
Fire away. We got more Cabernet in the way. This is awesome.
But we were actually on a conference call with him after the tournament ended. And we finished, and Glenn Tate was in the back of the 18th green. You remember him probably.
Sure.
I came walking out. I was pretty pumped. I just made it from 30 feet. I'm second alone. Like, cool. Going to make, hell, then it was probably 50,000. And I come walking off. Glenn's standing there. I'm like, standing in the middle of the green after I finished waiting on the other guy to putt. I'm thinking, what's he doing standing up here? And I walk by and he says, Dad, yeah. He says, go over your card, but don't sign it. I'm like, what? He says, just go over your card, don't sign it. And so all the way to the 10, I'm thinking, what the hell did I do today? I couldn't think of a thing. Anyway, he came down and said, it's the issue yesterday, blah, blah, blah. And so we went in, we had a conference call, and we got PJ on the phone, and they're back and forth. We got 4 tour officials and PJ and whatever, blah, blah, blah. And this is building a stance is what they're basing it on, the infraction. And I'm sitting there just, doodling around. I'm looking at the rule book. And I'm on page 9 and rule 14-4.12ZX.6W squared, which is definition of a stance. I'm sitting there reading this. I said, PJ, can you do me a favor? Certainly. I said, can you go to the rule book, page 8, read me this rule, blah, blah, blah. He says, absolutely. He says, definition of a stance is placing one's 2 feet firmly on the ground. I said, so My rule violation is that I built a stance. He says, that would be correct. I thought I had him, man. I thought I had him. I said, so in reading the rule book.
It's just like Ironside.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is just the greatest clue of all time. I said, so you just read me the definition of stance. My infraction was that I built a stance when, in fact, according to the rule book, I never took a stance because my feet were in the air. Gotcha.
You can't send this boy to prison.
And you know what he said? What
did he say?
He didn't miss a beat. He came back right back and said, well, in this case, Craig, your knees were your feet. Like, excuse me? I mean, I said, my knees look nothing like my feet. They're a lot fatter and a lot wider, and they got no toes. And I thought I had him. I thought I just had him nailed. And
for those of you that just swerved off the road, we apologize. We hope you didn't hit anything.
It didn't happen.
Oh, that is but that is.
But
beautiful.
You know, the worst part, you talk about being kind of deflated by things and personal things. The worst part of that, it was in 87, so it wasn't like, you know, I was going to win the money title or anything, probably, but I was still playing decent. And they developed a rule from the year before in the fall, which there was an instance that happened with the scoring average in the fall with one of the players, and they did in 86, and they decided at 87 that there was going to be no more gray area in the stats, and any disqualification for any reason, you're disqualified from the whole stat program.
Oh, wow.
And I had never won the scoring average, and that was one of the things I always wanted to do. And after the third event of the year, I'm not allowed to participate in it anymore. And I thought that pretty much sucked, too.
What year was it you won the Tour Championship at Pinehurst?
91.
91. Have you been back to Pinehurst? Of course, the U.S. Open for both the men and the women is there next year. Have you seen what Crenshaw and Cora have done to
the
golf course?
No.
Oh, wait till you see it.
Yeah. I mean,
I imagine it's not easier.
No. It's not that much harder either.
Couldn't be much harder.
I mean, you played. I thought that period of time was when that golf course was at its absolute hardest.
I think the greens are actually better.
Yeah. It was. Just a bunch of inverted ashtrays.
They're not that as severe, I didn't think. I mean, they can speed them up.
I agree with that.
I haven't been back. I played the next year in Tour Championship, and I haven't been back since.
It's absolutely beautiful. When you think back on what this was going to be 19 years of Masters dinners for you. Am I math right?
No, you're a little off.
How far off am I?
I believe this will be yeah, let's go a little higher.
All right. So my math
kind of like my weight. Let's go a little higher. Why don't you try 31?
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Wow.
Come on, dude. Can
I
you add?
I can't. I like what Kadrick says. Math is only good if you believe in it.
Did you see him as a caddy?
Yeah. He's got the best caddy story.
We got 161 and 24, 208.
You got to tell the caddy story now. When you had the wrong.
We do have a break that we haven't gotten to. I say we stack it with the next break and keep Craig for 10 more minutes.
If the man can stay with us.
Absolutely. I got something red in front of me. I'm good.
He is going to be late for dinner, though.
Yeah, but we're biding his time with Cabernet.
I understand.
Take your pick.
Ask your question about the Masters dinners.
We can get to that because you have this great story about the...
He doesn't want to hear my caddy.
So you don't want me on after the break by the sounds of it?
No, I'd love to.
Take a break.
What are you trying to throw him off the show for?
Okay, then we will go to break. Because we've screwed the whole show up. But it's our
last. That's nothing new for us.
It's our last one, so it doesn't really matter.
That's beautiful. No, my question I was going to ask you is that, you know, a Masters win is obviously something, to use the cliche, something for the ages. But the Masters dinners, and you've had, as you corrected me, what, 31 or 32 or whatever we...
A lot.
What are some of the memories over the years that you have of that very, very special occasion?
You know, most of the memories from the 80s, because you had Sam there.
Oh.
You had Claude. And dinner would end at, early, 9 o'clock. And we leave at 10 because they just sit there and tell stories. And there's, we've really lost the storytellers. Once Sam died, we've really lost most of the storytellers. Fuzzy will tell a joke, and, Golby will tell a joke, and we're gone. We're out of there by 9:05, 9:10. But, there's some interesting things that go on. a few good memories. Elazabal 3 years ago, or 2 years ago, got up and read a speech from note written from Seve, which is very cool, on how he's not going to be there, and he hopes he'll be there in the future years, but he probably doesn't see it happening. Wow. And good luck to everyone. You're all my friends, and blah blah blah. And that was pretty cool. That was very moving. But I probably shouldn't say this, but I will. My best story was back in, it had to be the early 90s, maybe late 80s. And Hort Hardin, who was chairman when I won, was chairman. It's the champions and the chairman. And it was the first year that the whole golf course, they made a cut. So the mower went from the tee to the green, turned around, went from the green to the tee, turned around, went from tee to the green, turned around, went green to the tee. And Arnold got up and he says, Hord, I've got a question about the mowing procedures this year. Hord says, yes, Arnold, what is that? And Arnold says, well, on 13, you have to carry your ball around the corner. He said, I hit numerous drives there in the practice round today. And when I hit the part that was cut, the mower is going towards the green, that ball released 30 yards. When I hit the putt a foot left of that was coming to the tee, it released 2 feet. Now, why are we having these inconsistencies? Either mow it into the tee or down to the green. And Hord looked at him and looked at Arnold, and he said, and this is Arnold Palmer, by the way. He looked at Arnold Palmer and said, well, Arnold, I'll take that up in front of our group of experts. And Arnold looked at Hord and said, well, Hord, what exactly do you think you have in the room here? And Hord did not miss a beat. He looked right back at Arnold. He says, Arnold, I'll take that up in front of our group of experts. And I'm sitting there watching this back and forth, and I'm like, really? You gotta be kidding me.
You mentioned Arnold Palmer. You mentioned Sam Snead. Who were the guys that when you started to show a level of success on the PGA Tour that you got to meet that you'd always admired and wanted to get to know?
I've admired Arnold since I was a kid. I honestly have. I tried to emulate him ever I could. I loved his attitude. I loved Lanny Watkins' attitude. And I pretty much took the same. I never did back away from a whole lot of pins. Unless I, you're at Bay Hill and the pin's far right and I got a 4-shot lead and I'm going to hit it the left side of the green. But, I absolutely adore Arnold Palmer. I always have. Jack is just a wonderful friend. Johnny Miller, you got to love him or leave him, one or the other. But the first year we moved from Cypress Point to Poppy Hills, and he was doing the telecast, and they asked to compare him, and he said it's like going from Bo Derek to Roseanne Barr. I thought that was the best comment I've ever heard in my entire life. And I mean, that was beautiful. But, I was fortunate, and personally, I was unfortunate. I never met Ben Hogan. But I spent a lot of time around Sam, a lot of time around Claude Harmon, a lot of time with Trevino, a lot of time with Jack. And they're all just, they're wonderful friends and awesome spokesmen for the game. And, as I say, the tour is I've said it many times before, in the God knows how many million years I've played, probably the 3 or 4,000 guys that have come and gone that I've met just in passing or whatever. I can't really think of more than about 4 or 5 guys I really wouldn't want to have dinner with. And that's pretty damn good. That says a lot for our game, for our tour.
Amazing. When you think about the era in which you were at the pinnacle of your game, Craig Stadler's our guest, folks, if you're listening to us around North America via satellite on Sirius XM PGA
Even
Tour
Even by
Radio.
Satellite, I was never at the pinnacle of my game, but that's okay.
Or around the world on Back9Network.com. The people that you just mentioned and you actually competed with and had a chance to play with, if we define the era from 1960, maybe 1962 with Jack Nicklaus' U.S. Open win to 1986, say, to his last Masters win, you actually played, competed, and were successful during, humbly, what I think was an era when giants roamed. And it's amazing to think about the guys that you competed against in that time. I mean, from Ray Floyd and Tom Watson and all these other guys that you mentioned.
Well, you know, it was. In one breath, it was where giants roamed. But the reason for that, I think, particularly the reason was, you know, we had none of the things we had. We had Fitness Van, what was that? You know, new golf balls in the driving range, what was that? Free balls in the driving range, what was that? We had to pay for range balls, or we brought our own in a shag bag. Wow. And our caddy went out and shagged them for my first 3 or 4 years. But, you know, courtesy car, never heard of one. Meals in a clubhouse, where? I mean, none of this stuff ever happened when we were playing early. And the whole difference being, you say, where giants roamed from say 1970 to 1980, that 10-year period, you teed off with 156 guys every week. And tell me if I'm wrong, but honestly, you had 15 guys in the field that could win the tournament. Sad but true. The odd day out, one guy would pop up and win, but it didn't happen more than once a year, twice a year maybe. And now you got 156 guys starting, you got 130 guys or 125 guys that can easily win the golf tournament.
Yeah.
So the depth is just incredible compared to what it was 20, 30, 40 years ago. And, you know, you hate to go back and compare, but you do. And Kevin hates him, but I love him. The stories of the comparison stories, but I've got to tell one Kevin story, and if he's listening, he'll be embarrassed to hell. But so be it, dude.
And he has the week off, so he might.
And he's set the week off, so he might be doing something. But I'm guessing he's not listening to the radio, but he might be.
Yeah, I mean,
he might be.
You never know.
But 2 years ago, he was first alternate in Colonial, and the way Colonial works, you have a field of 120. And you add on the past champions that want to play. So it was like 6 of them. So he was first alternate, which meant not that somebody with Drewy got in. The field had to drop below 120 to get in. There's no way he's getting in. And Lucas Glover got sick on Thursday about noon, teeing off at 1:30, and Kevin got in. So played, he finished. Long story short, he hit it about 10 feet on 18 and missed it. Hit a great putt and missed it. And finished tied for 7th. So he ties for 7th. I was talking to him that night. I said, man, it's a shame you missed that putt. And he just got in a great putt. Good, perfect putt. It just didn't break. Hit something, whatever. And I said, that's all right. He said, it cost me $45,000. I said, what'd you make? He says, $207,000. I said, well, you know, it's not bad. He says, yeah, whatever. I said, well, dude, you know, I finished 8th. In 80 and 8th and 81 and made 208 and 206. It's like, what are you talking about? I said, the money list.
Yeah.
You finished 7th and cut them in the middle, 207. Get over it. You know, it's okay. You had an okay week. Don't be pissed off about a putt you missed on 18.
Well, talk about that from your perspective, because, I mean, you do have a son that could potentially make so much money in his 30s. And do you give him advice on how to handle that aspect of it at all?
Nah, he's, you know, he's got a great shoulder and head on his shoulders. He really does. You know, he's got the best of all worlds. As far as I know, he doesn't have a girlfriend. He owns a house in Scottsdale, half a house with me in Ponte Vedra, a duplex in Colorado. They're all paid for. I don't know what he's got in the bank, but it's more than I do. And he flies Southwest most of the time, so, you know. But, you know, good for him. He's he is one of the more level-headed kids I know of. He doesn't have his entourage out with him. And good, bad, or indifferent, that's probably one of the traits he picked up from me. Because I never traveled with anybody, never worked with anybody, really. And he works with a guy out of San Diego. But, you know, he's his own guy, and he has fun doing it. And good for him. But, you know, that being said, what a great time to be on tour.
Agreed.
This is, I think his seventh year he's starting, maybe? I think his seventh year. He hasn't won. And I think he's somewhere around $400,000 behind me in career money.
You know,
so I'm thinking that'll he'll blow by me in March, hopefully, with that.
I was talking to Jay Haas at a dinner that he was hosting, and we were hosting together. And I explained to him that if Bill made 20 cuts a year, it would take him till 2039 to equal the number of cuts that Jay made on the PGA Tour. And he laughed, and he said, yes, but he passed me on career money last
already.
Year.
Already, yeah, And that doesn't include the $10 million.
It was just before he won the $10 million.
You know, it's awesome. It's good for them. It is awesome.
So what fills your days right now? What's the typical schedule moving forward now for Craig Stadler?
From today on?
Today on. Let's go from there.
No. I got the show tomorrow with Swing Tip again. Then I drive back to Jacksonville. I've got Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday charity days that I donate at TPC.
Nice.
Sawgrass. Then I'll watch Super Bowl Sunday. I'll play Boca the next week, Naples after that. Then I come back to 5 days in a row at TPC charity days. I'm catching up on all the things I'm behind on. And then go back. I've got a little basal cell thing on my leg here. I got to get cut off when I get back home. So got 2 weeks off, then Newport, then Biloxi, and off in Augusta and wherever else we go. So
it's awesome.
But it's all good. I've really overextended myself in charity days, but I'm a sucker.
You know what, though? It speaks to how much you guys give back.
It does. You know, we all try to do what we do, but and I donated 21 days last year, and it was too much. I lost track of my time, but, you know, you raise so much money, and it's nuts. I do a thing at TPC where I bring three guys into the house. We play 2 days. I cook for them both nights.
Seriously.
And I do an event for a company out of Toronto, Agnico Eagle Gold Company. Every year I host it, and I auction it off this year. Went for $30,000.
Stop.
As I'm done, I'm going back to the table. Another guy says, you want to do two of them? I'm like, sure. Before I got to the table, we ended up doing three of them.
30 grand a piece?
So I raised 90 grand in about 2 minutes. But, you know, it's 6 days of golf and 12 days, 9 days at the house, basically. But,
sweet.
You know, as I said, I'm a sucker for raising money.
What are you frying up for these guys?
Pardon?
What are you making? What's the dinner?
We do.
Stads is making.
I do a whole standing ribeye on the barbecue. I do. I do some absolute kick-ass ribs.
do you smoke
them? Not in the barbecue, in the oven.
In the oven, really?
They are phenomenal. Yeah. Pat McGowan, Pine Needles, a good friend of his, Barry Pry. I got a recipe from his wife, and they are just phenomenal.
I saw Pat.
So and a little bit of red wine here and there, maybe a bottle or two every, you know,
hour,
10 minutes.
They're rare.
Oh my!
But it's all good.
It's awesome, man.
It's all good. So
you having fun?
I am. You know, I'm as I said last week, I played Hawaii. It's the first time I've really felt healthy in, well, since March of 08, so almost 5 years. And the sad part was I got misdiagnosed with my hip for almost 3 years, or I could have got it done right then. But I had no idea my hip was even an issue, and all of a sudden it was destroyed.
What are they putting in there now, titanium?
Yeah, I've got a porcelain. The stake they fire through your femur is porcelain, and the ball and joint are titanium.
460 cc.
I think it's an R1. The new R1 with the stripe down the side.
You can adjust the weights.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Right for a cut or a hook.
Yeah, you know. you could twing it. Just put the wrench in here and your leg opens. You hell will fade. You
now
know,
that's
whatever.
Building a stance. I promise
True.
You.
True. True. That guy goes guitar. I can play guitar for a little bit.
That's right. You know, he and Don,
you don't want to hear it.
He and Don Henley have always been. It's Glenn Don Fry. Henley, right? Glenn Fry. It was an eagle. He's
well, Don,
with,
you're in the group.
He's friends with an eagle.
Yeah. I couldn't count 31 years.
You came close.
No, I didn't.
How do you get a 2 to a 3 comes out at 9? How does that happen?
Because I've been to rules school.
Yeah, you could be one of our tour officials. Yeah, absolutely.
I knew that would lead to something.
Can't cut them any slack. It's not going to happen.
This is priceless stuff.
Glenn Fry is my buddy.
And do you get to see him very
often?
Little
short left-hander.
Are they touring again this year?
They are.
Are they really?
Yeah, they still are. I took him to play AT&T as my partner the first year.
Right.
And I don't know when he took up golf, but it couldn't have been more than the day before. And admittedly, he was horrible. Drove it about 140 off the tee.
Crooked.
And the next year we played, we came back and I played a practice round at Poppy Hills, and all's like, whoa, he's got it like 210. Like, what the hell happened? He says,
Bertie, I took lessons.
I said, obviously. He says,
yeah, and they worked.
That's awesome.
And we played probably 8 or 10 years and just had a blast. But what a wonderful guy.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
It was cool. So, you know, a lot of good times in this game. There's not many bad times, but we're afforded a lot of things that a lot of people don't get the chance to do, and it's awesome.
Swingtip.com, folks, if you want to get better as well. Swingtip.com, if you want to take advantage of that software.
I could do this all night, but we do have...
You got more guests to come on.
We do.
Let the record show that you're the one that's sending Craig Stadler off.
Or you
got to
go drinking one or the other.
No, we have 50 more minutes.
How many?
50.
50?
Yeah. And I think 4 or 5 breaks to get in now.
Well, who's coming on to entertain?
We have some. Well, we have one of my sponsors.
You're actually sponsored by somebody?
We have that lovely girl in the red dress over there coming on for just a minute.
There you go. Well, goodbye.
Enough said.
Can't keep her waiting.
Well, if we don't see you before then, though, we'll see you at Augusta. We will
absolutely.
Be there. We'll be there. I'm sure that your sidekick, my buddy, will be there. So warn him.
Cool.
Craig, thank you for your time.
You know, hopefully Kevin will be there.
Absolutely.
He won't last as long as I do, though.
You know, one of his other buddies is Townsend, Jay Townsend.
Seriously?
Yeah, they like to shoot things together.
It's class.
Yes, we do.
You go fishing with him?
Nope. Hunting. Never have.
Just hunting? Jay's a serious
No, we go shooting. We're going to go hunting.
Oh, yeah. Really?
It's got nothing to do with hunting. No, we're shooting birds, live birds, but you just stand and wait. It's got nothing to do with hunting.
And the odds are stacked, too.
Yeah.
I said that to Jay Stockton Jr. Yes, one time. Are. I said, you're in a camouflage tent with a camouflage barrel, and you're using this device to make the ducks fly at you. What's in it for the duck?
That's a good point.
Well, ducks are a little different. That's a little tougher. We go dove hunting. Dove hunting in Argentina.
Really?
Yep.
How many times did you play the Argentinian Open?
Oh, 10 or 12.
Yeah. Just so you could go hunting.
But I've been there. I came back. I got back 2 weeks ago just before I went to Hawaii.
Did you
Came
really?
Back Thursday afternoon, left for Hawaii Sunday. We were a month. And it's probably, I'm guessing, about my 40th trip. But for you wing shooters, yeah, northwest Argentina, place called Salta, there's a lodge called Chacu. Chacu. A buddy of mine runs it. It's just...
Using shotguns?
Oh, phenomenal. You have to go.
Shotguns, Craig?
Yeah. Yeah, you shoot a dove with a rifle, you've done
There's
good.
There's not much left.
You've done good. Well, there's probably more left than a shotgun, but
yeah,
they're about that big and they're flying about 40 miles an hour. If you can hit that sun gun with a rifle, then, you know, more power to you.
I think you got that.
You're in the wrong place. You need to be a sniper somewhere.
Thank you so much for your time.
It's all good. I enjoyed it, guys. Had a great
really
time.
That really was fun.
That was absolutely
Johnny,
incredible.
It's awesome, buddy.
Folks, go to swingtip.com and check it out for sure.
See you in Augusta.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
swingtip.com if you want to check out the new technology.